are listening to the Transformation Table Podcast, where we talk about God's business.
Good morning to everybody that is going to listen to the podcast or the YouTube or whatever way. If you're truly blessed, your friend will send this to you. Hopefully, we this morning, with God's blessing, have a productive meeting this morning. I know that Henry is in close Kruger. To the Kruger National Park, next to the Kruger National Park at Marlow Park. That's right. Yes, so he's taking a bit of a break. I wanted to encourage him to join us this morning, but I thought maybe he needs a little bit of a rest as well, and just connecting. There's something special about connecting with Mother Nature. You know, it's soothing to the soul. So I wonder where's Peter this morning, Freek? That's a interesting
not
one.
On. He's showing something in.
Okay, maybe
he's
he'll
got
pop
a
in
Wi-Fi challenge.
Yes. Okay, so, and I was hoping to see Umbeno because I'm sure Umbeno, Freek, and Peter wants to redeem the very low marks they got for the last meeting. And I hear Peter gave our man, and if I refer to a man, it could be a man or a woman, or maybe more specifically a young man or a young girl. He calls him the 100 rand man, because I had to explain to him. And I think that is my concern, or something we learned from the last meeting, that it is possibly for us very difficult to understand the 100 rand man, because even that 100 rand could be a challenge. There's certainly young people, and maybe not so young, that just don't see this 100 rand to start a business is a bridge too far. It is too long. I gave each one of them a challenge last week, and I climbed in my car and I went and bought lollipops, and I realized, you think you're very clever, you got a good price on the lollipops at the wholesaler, but you climbed in your car to drive there. I have to deduct my diesel from my 100 rand to have a real figure, and then I'm already in a financial problem because my 100 rand was spent. That VA doesn't run on doesn't do 20 k's a liter, unfortunately. So we have to understand where we're coming from. The point is definitely a challenge. Even that 100 rand, and Sue, I would imagine the closest wholesaler to you would be a long walk or a hard drive, because you're not in the vicinity of these type of things. So just that lollipop experiment taught me a lot, because you move away. That is God's way of doing things. You start off somewhere and then you grow. Everything that God has created has to grow. Everything, the universe is growing. If you plant a mealie, it's going to grow. If you give your heart to God, you will grow. Everything grows, and you grow, and you lose your perspective from where you came from. The most basic things, and that's, of course, the challenge that we're sitting with, but also the promise that, and I want to start off with this. I just want to do a short introduction, and then we can kick off. Hopefully, Peter is in soon. So I heard a thing last night on TV, and it really captured me. Your talent is a gift from God. How you use it is your gift back to him. I'm going to say that again. Your talent is a gift from God. How you use it is your gift back to him. And the reason why it captured me is the challenge to Peter was the story in I think it's Matthew 25 of the master giving his three workers each a different quantity of talents. And the question that the challenge we had for Peter was, why did the master do that? And it was, I think, because of the master would receive that gift back in seeing how these guys make it grow. We're back to the growing thing again. But let's go on. So the reason why we're starting this journey is, we are all born, our spirit man and our flesh man are born with a cavity. There's a cavity inside of your spirit that can only be filled by God. And just now I realized we didn't open with prayer. So, Freya, can I ask you to open with prayer first, please?
Father, we thank you for a wonderful day. It's a wonderful to sit outside here on the stoop and just listening to the birds, hearing the sea, and people are going to work. Their day has started, and you have given us the grace to be around the table this morning. And thank you for everybody that joined us. Thank you, Father, that we know we are busy with your business, the things in life that is important to you. And we thank you, Father, for this wonderful day that we can speak together, share together. And I just want to ask also, Father, in Jesus' name, that we will hear your voice and your heartbeat in this discussion this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Freya. I'm so excited I completely went off. So, apologies for that. So, each of us have two cavities. The spirit man has got that cavity that only God can fill. You are not going to be complete. You are going to be always feel that you're half measure until that cavity is filled by God. The second cavity, the flesh man's cavity, is his stomach, and this is possibly a big part of what we're having discussion today. If you're hungry, the first thing you're going to think is, I need some food, and I don't know about you guys, but I get really hungry. Then you need to get some sustenance, and that, if you're not on a farm, and even if you're on a farm, growing your sustenance is a costly business. I mean, Sue, I'm sure you can tell us what a budget looks like on a farm. I think we all might have a big fright. I think it will be a worthwhile discussion actually one day. I think the world lives on the perspective that farms grow themselves. You drink coffee on the stoop and the farm manages itself. It's a massive mistake. I've got some friends that have some decent farms, and I know that most of them are out in the dark in the mornings and long days. So obviously that second part is what we're talking about now, but I want to try and connect it because I think there is the truth in the journey. I'm gonna just read for us John 6 verse 35, and this is such a popular, but I'm gonna well-known piece. But I'm just gonna connect it for us because, sorry, I'm gonna start a little bit, go a little bit back, and I'm reading it out of the Message Bible because I think it puts it so relevant to our discussion for this morning. So I'm gonna start off by verse 32. Jesus responded, the real significance of that scripture is not that Moses gave you bread from heaven, but that my Father is right now offering you bread from heaven, the real bread. The bread of God came down out of heaven and has given life to the world. They jumped at that. That's obviously the disciples. They jumped at that. Master, give us the bread now and forever. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more and thirsts no more, ever. I've told you this explicitly, because even though you have seen me in action, you don't really believe me. Every person the Father gives me eventually comes running to me. And once that person is with me, I hold on and I don't let go. I come down from heaven not to follow my own whim, but to accomplish the will of the one who sent me. And the reason why I'm reading this is God obviously realized that the Israelites in the desert needed sustenance. That's why he sent fresh manna every day. But the real bread is Jesus. The real bread is God. And it says here, the person who aligns with me. Yeah. And I want to get back, Freek, to that little piece of, you can have the 100 rand and you can have all the energy. Yeah. But if you don't align, you are going to be hungry in both ways. You know, you have to align with God, and it comes that early in the morning. You know, get your instructions. I have to tell you, Freek, I know some guys that has got small, I want to say, not kingdoms, but small empires. And what is the first thing they do? And you know, one of my friends told me the other day, he says, I picked up a bad habit. I woke up and I grabbed my phone before I go and have my quiet time. He said that I realized and I got reprimanded for that, because I first quickly had a look at what WhatsApp messages is out there. And I got back into my first bread. My first time was in my quiet room, getting my instructions, aligning with God, and understanding what I need to do for the day. And that is his business secret. Yeah. And you know, we talk about starting, and we're going to kick into that just now. But you know, we talk about starting with 100 rand. He started by, one of the things he did was he would go and buy the things at auctions that was broken. You know, that stuff that went for 50 cents and 2 rand and 5 rand, and he would fix it up and sell it back at the same auction at a profit. And then they started getting some shop soiled tinned food and stuff like that, and they sold that under the tree. And now he's got a small empire. You know, he's doing not only financially very well, but he's doing very well. And that is another thing. You know, we must be very careful what tape measure we use. You know, we talk about the tools in the toolbox. What is success? How do you measure success? Is it a bank balance? I don't think so. Yeah. My perception of success is if I can sit around the table with the people that my family that that loves me. Yeah. That is this peace in my family. There's a piece of success there. Okay. So that's my introduction. I'm going to quickly, I don't know if there's anybody that wants to kick off with the ideas of what the 100 rand man should do. Please put up your hand. Freek, I know that you had a dream or a vision. I don't know if you want to kick off, or shall I quickly just give you back feedback on my lollipop experience? Let's quickly do that. So last week, Thursday, I went out and I was amazed at the price of a lollipop. I could get, there was lollipops on special, very, very nice lollipops for 73 cents. So I bought, they were came in packs of 48. I bought 2 packs and I had some change, which I'm going to write off to transport. So you know, the cost for 90, what's it, 48 is 96 lollipops is 100 rand. I'm not sure. I didn't take a taxi there, so I'm not sure what a taxi would cost there, or if I had to take an Uber or whatever you do I'm not sure what that would cost. It was very close to us, so it was not, I could have walked actually. And while I was thinking about it, the idea was to go and stand at the robot to sell them. And I thought to myself, Menzo, that's not going to work. I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. Number one, I'm going to upset the guy that's already selling his chips there. And I'm not really a good salesperson. So I asked, we're literally outside my gate, maybe 5 meters from where I sit in my office. There's a vendor that's got his little roof up, and he sells chips and apples and things like that. Interesting enough, he is from Zimbabwe, and it's amazing that a man comes all the way from Zimbabwe to open his little tent shop next to the road in Boksburg. There's a whole troublesome thought there. In any case, so I gave him one pack. I asked him if he would sell them for me and what he would sell them for. So he said, no, no problem. He sells them for 2 rand. I said, okay, would you sell the packet for me? Now, I don't know how other businesses look, but we add a 10, 15%, maybe sometimes a 20% margin. So that was a very good margin. I mean, immediately I got very excited. I thought, no, drop this cable making thing. Let's sell lollipops. Yeah, that's the business to be in. So, and then to make the experiment worthwhile, I ask one of the guys that work for me, that's been on campfire camps with me, that understands. When I asked him, I want to do experiment. Would he give the other pack of lollipops to his son, which is 15 years old, to sell for me? And he said, no problem. And that was, I then handed over the lollipops to him. So here's the results. The vendor managed to sell the lollipops fairly easy for 2 rand. The young man couldn't get them sold for 2 rand, and he had to drop the price to 1 rand 50, which is still a great margin. It's 77 cents margin. But the one guy's got a little bit more costs. He's got the little shop to upkeep. And I'm talking about really a couple of poles and a sail and his little table that he puts out there, and he sells his things. But it took a little bit of time. So the morning, Peter. We
Morning.
missed you. We were worried about you. We're talking about the 100 Rand man. You know that guy that we spoke about. And I learned a couple of things, and I made some notes in the past couple of mornings about the experiment. And this is my summary. I am not a lollipop seller, but the part that I got excited about, that my mind started playing around, was I should be making the lollipops. Because that's what I'm wired for. My talent is, I already in my head designed the machines, started looking for secondhand machines to buy, and laid out the factory in my head how to make lollipops. And as soon as I get a lollipop recipe, I will figure out what the cost would be to manufacture a lollipop. There's my talent, right? My talent is not standing at the robot selling the lollipops. That's another guy. And then I realized you have to have, and this is a very dangerous and contentious subject, because the whole world talks about your passion, your passion. What would you like? But it's not about that. It is what a portion of holy discontent. What do you want to fix? What are you not happy with? Right? And the other one is, what do you want to achieve? What drives you? And I realized that selling lollipops does not drive me. That doesn't excite me. But manufacturing lollipops does that. So you have to have a drive for what you do. You have to, and this is my advice to the 100 Rand man. What you have to figure out, and I get back to the same point every time. You have to have somebody that you can trust, have a conversation with. Yeah. And preferably have more than one, and preferably if you've got a mentor. But my suggestion is start in the morning in your prayer time and speak to God about this. Have a conversation, a real heartfelt conversation about this. You're going to learn so much, right? But you have to have a drive for this, and you're going to have to do this yourself. You can't ask your buddy to do this for you. You can't ask your mommy to do this for you. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to figure out what is that thing that wakes you up in the morning and makes you excited. And then there must be a persistence. I realize that if this has to be selling lollipops, has to be a business, you're going to have to work at it. It's easy to sell 100 lollipops, but you have to sell another 100 lollipops tomorrow. And you're not going to make much of a life doing that. You're going to have to think of doing some other stuff as well. That's if you're a salesperson. There's many different things that you can do. You have to overcome today, Basrak, and then tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after. That's called discipline. You also have to use, and that's what Menri was talking about last week, not eat your seed. You have to feed yourself out of some of the profits you make, but you have to keep your seed so that you could reinvest all the time, and you have to do those calculations on paper. Don't do them in your head, because you're going to misappropriate funds to the wrong account. You need to write this down on paper. That's why when I sent the photo on the group, that was not only for your convenience, but it was for my convenience, because my phone is a part of my memory. I took a photo of the little slip and of the product. I do that all the time. The other thing I've learned is, whatever your thing is, it's already in you. It's already inside of you. You just have to wake it up, right? And then the last thing that I've learned, and I think this is a very important one for me, you learn, you grow, and that's what we started off with, Peter. You missed that part. Everything in God is growth and learning and expanding. And it's like when you get your phone, your phone sends you a message. You've got to get you've got to get a what's it, a refresher. What do you call that? Your phone has to upgrade. And then it says, if you read what it says you can't go back to the previous version. And I sometimes think to myself, but I like this version. Why do I have to get new software? The old version is working for me. Leave me alone. Let me keep my. But it doesn't work like that. You don't have that choice. You have to go with the flow there, which drives me nuts, of course. But once you are a next version of yourself, it's very difficult to go back to the ungrown part. You have to keep on growing. It's not easy to go back to the original portion. Yes, and that is some of the things I've learned through this process, because it was actually such a basic and simple thing. But you learn so much basic things. And the other thing I realized is there's a lot of very basic stuff here. So that is my journey on this one so far. Not nearly as excited as I thought it would be. I thought I would be a millionaire already, and the lollipop king of Boksburg, but it didn't happen a week. I'm very disappointed, and I think that's the other thing to overcome, that you not get disappointed with a slow start, a small beginning. Anyway, so Peter, your challenge for the week was to tell us why the master gave the three workers the talents. I've got a theory, but Give us your answer if you don't mind, please.
Okay, thanks. There's Matthew 25, where God gives different people different size talent. And then there is Luke 19, where everybody got 1 pound. But the one that you asked me to focus on was Matthew 25, where in God's wisdom, He gives a different amount to various people that He knows will be able to bring increase. Now, Matthew 25, unfortunately, does not really speak to the 100 rand man, the unsaved 100 rand man. It's a parable that deals with the kingdom of God, and it's dealing with the heart. Now, the gifts that God is talking about in this parable, each one of us has our own natural giftings, the ability to sing or whatever. But these gifts are ones that God gives particularly to bring increase to His kingdom. And it's all about that competency to bring increase in His absence. In other words, will you take what He has given you? Will you accept it and not despise it if it is less than somebody else has been given? And will you at least try? Will you take a chance and at least go and buy some lollipops and start to sell them? The others will say, "Nee, wat is te ver." And the unfaithful servant is the one that didn't even think about it, didn't even try, and was ready-made excuses all the way, predominantly because of fear of failure, because of fear of risk-taking, for because of entitlement and laziness, and there are various others. Now, the whole purpose why God gives these gifts are it's about zeal, your aver. It's about zeal, about personal responsibility, taking responsibility for your gift, knowing that God gives it to you to bring increase. If He can trust you in the little, He will keep adding. And so the moral of this story is that men and women, even though they have received giftings from God that are not the same, they are dissimilar, each one of them, if they apply equal diligence, and if each one of them works hard at their gifting, the strange thing is at the end of it, they all receive exactly the same reward. And so it's about faithfulness, about knowing that it's the master's gift and not theirs. You see, you have your own giftings, the way you're wired, and God made you that way anyway. But then He adds on top of that. You see, now my wife has an organizational gifting, and she's amazing at that. But I'm not good at organizing. I can put a document together of the principles that she needs to organize, but I can't organize it. And so it's to accept, it's to know what your barn is, what your lane is, and get into that lane and run like hell. Do the very best you can every day. And so the results over time
You mentioned it. Perseverance and loyalty are tested. Loyalty to the Lord, to the kingdom, to yourself, to your family, to your workers, loyalty. And furthermore, the results are determined according to diligence, commitment, motivation, faithfulness. That's why God gave those, to grow you in those areas, to test you and to grow you. Will you at least step out of the boat? Start with baby steps. Start small. Work hard at it. Be honest. Work with integrity. And do it as for the Lord. And then gradually it will increase. And over time. And then at the end of the day, the biggest thing is not to compare what you have with the person next to you. Because you are not the person next to you. And there are others looking at you wanting to compare and saying, man, I wish I could design a machine like Menzo can. Well, you can't. Get over it, you know. Get over it. Go and look, like you said, go and look what you can do that Menzo can't do. And work on that. And then when the two of you come together and say, right, how can we help each other succeed? This is where the growth comes. When you no longer keeping the gift just for yourself, eating your seed. You eat your second best seed, but you sow your very best seed always for the greatest hop, crop. The faithful one, immediately he started. No one, he didn't waste time humming and hawing. Persevering, successful. There's got to be success. There's got to be success. If there's no success, there's something you're doing wrong or something you're not doing. You've got to go back, look at everything you're doing, and tweak the system. And most of all, they were ready to account. They invite people to come and have a look what I'm doing. Show me if there's something I can do better. So they're ready to learn. And as I said, the unfaithful one, many people are do nothing because they feel they can't do anything great. And so they'd rather don't do anything. But the error there is it's not for us to decide what is great. You know, if God works in one person or we have one service and nothing seems to happen, then we have another time together where the Holy Spirit moves and we say, oh, that was a great service. Well, according to God, maybe the other one was a great service. And it's not for us to apportion greatness and to judge all these things. There must be success. What goals, if you don't have a vision and set goals for it, whether they are weekly, monthly, or annually, or whatever, and you've got to, a success has to be measured. If it's not measurable, it cannot be grown. Now, there's a statement. So it doesn't really apply to the unsaved guy, but for the saved guy, there's a tremendous amount in that parable of bringing increase because God's going to hold you accountable. And it's knowing that God is going to hold you accountable. That is part of what drives you. You know,
Of course.
he expects increase.
Yeah. If there's no
Quite a
increase,
challenge.
there's no good seed. I have a joke that I make, you know, when people ask me, would I build a machine for them, which we don't really do anymore. But I say you have to build three to have one. The first one you build for your enemy, the second one you build for your friend, and the third one you build for yourself, because you learn from good to great. You have to start off somewhere and figure it out. That thing is possibly going to be disaster. It's going to end up on the scrap heap. The second one you're going to do better, but the third one is possibly going to start getting pretty good. But yes, okay, Freek said that we're going to give him, just out of courtesy, another go to score better points. So, Freek, are you there?
Yes, sorry, I got a challenge with the Wi-Fi here, but so I'm leaving my camera off. Yes, I was thinking about this, and like you said, Mento, I was praying a lot about it, asking the Lord, what is there that I can start with 100 rand? And because I'm not prepared to. And it's made me think about a healthy lollipop with no, not so much sugar in it, Mingo. People are health conscious nowadays, so it will be a good thing to start off. Maybe me and you must talk about it. But I was thinking, lollipops is not for me, not selling lollipops, etc., but that's not going to work. I think the people maybe will be scared and just buy it if they see me with a lollipop, but no, that thing is not that one is not a movie for me, and or a bestseller, and washing cars, no. And I was going through it, and yesterday morning in the early hours when I spoke to God, I was just asking again about this. And then when you ask God something, the Bible says, "Be still and know that He is God. Get out of the traffic." And sometimes God won't answer you immediately. And if you listen to podcasts, or you're in the Word, or you spend time with fellow brethren, your fellowship, you keep your eyes open. But God speaks different ways. We went through this a while ago on the transformation table. But yesterday morning when I went to gym, I was listening to a podcast. And John Maxwell was speaking to a guy, and it was about, and it came to a place, it was about leadership or management. And it came to a place where he said something that, and what Peter said, we always say, stay in your lane, was about, am I a counselor? If I take 100 rand now, if that's the only thing I have, what I know will work for me. He's close by here where he stays a Wimpy. So surely there will be a Wi-Fi. So I will make a recording on my phone, a short message. Do you want to start your own YouTube channel or your own podcast? Because talking about growth, I can prove to people that over the last almost 2 months, I had almost 600% growth on my YouTube channel. My subscribers went up from around 3,000 people, and my views over the last month, let's say 2 months, was almost 300,000 people that viewed videos. And YouTube will show me how long the people are watching our content, or the content on my YouTube channel, and it is amazing to see how long they watch it. Because mostly I put on long content. So I was thinking in the gym, and it came to me, okay, what I'll do is I'll take that 100 rand, make sure I've got some data on my phone, and then I'll go to the Wimpy where there's Wi-Fi, because surely in that situation with 100 rand, maybe I won't have Wi-Fi at home, so I'll go to the Wimpy and upload that video that I made about, do you want to start a media ministry? Let me help you to start a media ministry. Even if it's a reel for 60 seconds on Facebook, it can go up to a minute and a half. And I'll put an ad on Facebook. And so firstly, I'll keep it organic and keep it there for a couple of days with my WhatsApp number that people can contact me if they are interested in starting their own media ministry. And I can just say, my video, what success I had when I was doing it. Let's say now I had to start all over as a business now, and not just a ministry. But saying to them also, you can contact me, and it's going to cost. When that person contacts me and we speak about it, we have a meeting or speak on WhatsApp or on the phone call, I can then ask that person for a deposit to start their YouTube channel and help that person to use their cell phone, like in your case now, Menzo, to start your own content. Buy this microphone, because I don't need to buy it. Buy this microphone for yourself from Takealot. Help them to get them up and running to start recording their own content, and then how to upload it. And other one is also to use some of that 100 rand to do paid ads on Facebook, where they will distribute that video. To and I'll focus on the Western Cape mainly, because let's say it's Afrikaans content for the Afrikaans YouTube channel. I'm in the process of starting an English one, but surely everybody in ministry that really has a heart for the lost and the people in the world, but I believe the God that God puts in our heart, because He doesn't want anyone to perish. Doesn't just have a vision between four walls. They surely want a vision for the people outside the church. So I believe that at this stage, there's no bigger vehicle platform to reach the unlost than on social media. Social media is not just a bad thing. I know of a lot of people with businesses that's making a lot of money out of social media. Advertising their products on social media, and they are very successful. So, as somebody that can prove to people the growth in my ministry, my media ministry, of like I said, almost 600%, well, surely there must be, I believe, some people that will say, "Wow, I also want to do this. I also want to reach so many people." With the message of the gospel or my message, your story. Let me help you tell your story to the world. Will be one of my slogans in the ad. And I believe with 100 rand, maybe it will cost me a couple of times walking to a Wimpy or somewhere where there's Wi-Fi to and that's why I said I'll put up data on my phone to make sure that I don't miss a call from a client that's going to come in. So I believe with that 100 rand, in a very short time, I can have great success with it, and start a good business with that. It brought me to a place yesterday that I want to share with you. When I was listening to this podcast, I'm not a good counselor. I do a lot of counseling, especially in prisons, one to one. But the problem with me with counseling is I don't want to hear your past the whole time. There's a difference between a counselor and a coach. A counselor is working on the person's weakness, and there's a place for it. I'm not too against it. Hear what I'm saying. But it's about, sorry, staying in my lane. And as a coach, I focus on a person's strength. Not their weakness. So I will rather focus on a person's strengths to say, yeah, but like you said, I mean, you've got a talent in music. You've got a gift, and the Bible declares this. Your gift creates room for you. So focusing on somebody's strength and helping them to say, yeah, you've got this message. You've got this amazing product. I've got a brother now in the Lord that is baking sourdough bread and helping him to get onto YouTube and social media, and I'm immediately seeing the growth in his business. We had this past weekend a training session online where he was coaching people how to bake the sourdough bread, and where they always had like 5, 6 people at their house, there was 12 people. There was 7 people online that was watching it on Zoom, and so that's already a what 100% plus growth for him on what he used to do every Saturday morning at his house, but now he started to put on the camera, and immediately there's a big growth in his business and his passion to bake bread. And now yesterday, last night, we had a meeting. We say the 25th of October will be the next online one with him. And we are trusting the Lord for 1,000 people to attend that online meeting. Is it possible? Yes. Yes. Yes, we have enough time to do a lot of marketing on social media, speak about it. So yeah, just make sure you're in your lane and use that 100 rand for your gift. Use your gift, your talent. And surely I will, like Peter said, on that talent, there will be growth because God is a businessman. Businessman, he wants interest on what he gives you. So the success in this whole thing for me with helping people to start a media ministry will be to reach the world and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will come by itself. So, yeah, I mean, so that's it.
You're going to have to use the 100 rand to buy the data for your phone.
Yeah, if you use WhatsApp, it won't be so much data. It won't be so much data.
That's
But
a
like I
plan.
said, I can go to the Wimpy every day. Yeah, have a glass of water, sit in the Wimpy and use their Wi-Fi to answer the messages and get the messages out and the phone calls. So yeah, but I'll use some of it for data.
Vic, you're going to get much better points for this round, so well done. Thank
Thank
you.
you,
So
thank you.
it ticks one of the things I've got on my list here. Being a tutor, if you've got a knowledge, you understand mathematics, put yourself out there as a mathematic tutor. If you've got a good understanding of grade 5 mathematics or grade 10 mathematics, it makes a difference. There's somebody that needs a tutor to teach them how to, I think it's Einstein that said, if you cannot explain your subject to a 7-year-old, you do not know what's going on. If it be 7-year-old mathematics or astrophysics, if you cannot explain it to a 7-year-old, you do not know what's going on. So, we've got a tutor up the road here, and I did the calculation the other day what he must be bringing in more or less. He's a mathematics tutor, and it is an obscene amount of money that he is bringing in just tutoring mathematics for school kids. And he started in his house, and I could see now that the whole house is now a tutoring center. And I don't know if he lives in the back room or bought himself another house, but for the money he's making, he can definitely buy himself a mansion wherever he wants. But tutoring is an awesome small business. Of course, you have to have something that you can tutor. Sue, you've got your hand up. What three businesses would you start, or do you have a question for Freya?
Yeah, I'm just thinking it's such a good thing that God has given us all different talents because I cannot start a YouTube channel for anybody and make machines to make lollipops. Yeah. I'm very disappointed that you guys chickened out. I wanted to see photos of you selling lollipops at the robot and washing cars. But yes, everybody has their area of expertise. I will make lemon syrup, I think. Siedlemoon sap, I will bottle it. I will find a friend who drinks wine and get all the old bottles and wash their bottles and sterilize them. And I will buy a pocket of lemons and I will buy sugar, and that will be 100 rand, just less than 100 rand. And I'll have to buy a little bit of tartaric acid and citric acid to add to my lemon syrup. Little packet to start with. When my business is flourishing, I'll buy a big box so that I can get it cheaper. I will, yeah, so you don't need much to make lemon syrup. I'll have to maybe pay somebody to use their little gasstoofie so that I can just, or a kettle, because I need boiling water. So I'll squeeze my lemons. I can maybe squeeze by hand, and I can sell, I can make, I think, 4 bottles of lemon syrup out of a little pocket of lemons, a liter of lemon juice. That will make a liter of lemon juice, and buy my 2.5 sugar for about $60. And I think that will make me about 4 bottles of lemon syrup that I can sell for about 40 rand each. So I'll make 160 rand out of my 100 rand. I think they sell them for about 70 rand in the home industry. So maybe I can sell them for $50 and then I can make 200 rand. Okay, so that's my one mission is lemon syrup. And yeah, if I make friends with my neighbor who has a lemon tree, then I maybe don't have to buy the lemons. I can just speak nicely to my neighbor. My next thing is if I don't have anything, I can with my 100 rand buy a little pair of scissors and a needle and a couple of reels of cotton. And I can advertise myself to fix people's darning and mending that needs done. You don't need anything other than that, other than a little neatness in your sewing. I will advertise on the free Grahamstown newsletter, and anybody can bring me their mending and darning. And another thing that I could do is make happy hog pies. I'll have to stay friends with my husband for this because we have warthogs on our farm that are such a nuisance. So we can, yeah. Otherwise, if I can't do that, I will have to go and buy a little bit of Vlakvarkie vlees because it's quite cheap. So if I have to buy it, I'll buy a kg of warthog meat for about $50. And I'll also have to pay my neighbor 10 rand to use her little gas stove so that I can cook my warthog meat. And then I'll buy a little packet of flour and a half a blocky of margarine and a little bit of salt and pepper and whatever else I need. And I'll make hog pies. We've done this before at home on the farm. I tried to get a little business going for our laborers' wives. Yeah, we were quite successful. They even managed to buy a deep freeze with their profits at one time. And it went very well. But I was like the manager, the driver of the project. And my intention was to get them to drive the project. And that just didn't take off. So we did it for a good couple of years because I was still riding school car at that time. So we were going into town a lot. And so we were selling at the school tuck shops. And so we'd sell them the frozen pies. Some of the tuck shops wanted the cooked pies, so I'd have to get up early in the morning and bake the pies and take them ready cooked into the school. But the frozen pies is much better. So then again, you'd have to, yeah, it's quite easy to make the pies. You'd like to make it like a sausage roll, so that you don't have a fancy equipment or anything. You just make a little square pastry and you put your little bit of meat in there. So you can probably make about 10 pies out of your kg of meat, and you can sell them for $15 each and undercut everybody else, or you can sell them for 20 rand each, then you make 200 rand. I don't think you'll buy a pie for less than 20 rand anywhere in town. And yeah, we did well because we could buy our warthog meat cheaply from my husband's. We didn't have to pay 50 rand a kg. Yeah, else I'd make milk tarts, and I was thinking, but you need an oven to cook the crust. But then I will go the other route and I will use Mari biscuits or tennis biscuits and margarine to make my crust so that I don't need an oven. But I would again have to pay 10 rand to the gas stove to the lady next door or somewhere so that I can just boil my milk. And then I'd have to buy 4 little tart cases, and that would cost me probably about 4 rand each or something, and my milk. And again, we milk a couple of cows here just for our own use and whatever, Hansi lambs and whatever. So we could also, we would, I could get my milk cheaper here and make a good profit on milk tarts, sell them for like 30 or $40 each. I'll have to make it 40 so that I can make some money out of my milk tarts. So I could do a couple of things. The problem is, my issue always is to try and get other people to drive the project so that I'm not the manager of the project because I can't do too many things. And I've just found that I haven't yet found the right people, like among our labor force or whatever, that have got that talent to do the business side of things. I wanted them to like find their own friends in town to say, who's got a deep freeze? Who can store these pies and sell them for me or whatever? But it's usually a challenge of eating your seed. It's so tempting for them to have these yummy hog pies in their house and whatever. I tried the same for them. I have a little store on the farm here where I just sell the lollipops and tobacco and sweeties and tea and airtime and chips. And I tried also to give the business to them, but I was making a loss all the time because I'd go there and there's stock missing and whatever. And it's the whole business of being on the farm. You kind of have this extended family. Like every time, for them to buy the stock is difficult. So every time you move is, are you going to town? Are you going to town? So you never can quite go to town on your own. You always have 10 people that want to lift and 20 people's groceries to bring home and all that. So it does become a bit of a challenge, but I've got used to that challenge now. It doesn't concern me. I realize that that's the way it's got to work, and I'm quite happy to give lifts where I can and help them where I can. But it's a way to bring God's message to people to help them rather than to always just be teaching them the Bible, the gospel. To like try and help him to, so now we've done a little gardens for them. Now we've tried to give them poles and netting and a tank and a spade and stuff to try and get little gardens going. But there are lots of challenges with that because we have lots of friendly visitors on the farm. We have warthogs, we have bushbuck, we have kudu, we have monkeys. What? So it's really a challenge to grow anything now. We used to grow quite a lot of stuff. But now we do sheep and cattle because we just haven't won the battle against the game. So we now sell the warthogs because they are eating all our crops, and now we haven't planted crops for a bit. We have little vegetable gardens for them, but everyone does their own thing. Try and keep the animals away from eating their crops. So we're having a little bit of success, and we're starting with that. I think that's. Oh yes, another thing that was quite interesting to me, like being on a farm, you eat your second best, as Peter was saying, you don't eat your best seed. And then we like have friends visiting, and why are you eating these pumpkins that are full of stings? Why don't you? So no, well, you've got to sell the best ones, and you keep the ones that have got a sting, and you cut it, and you freeze the bit that you can use and stuff. So we've got quite used to the, obviously when you go to town, you do your shopping, you buy the nicest pumpkin that you can find. But on the farm, you if that is what you're doing and you're selling, then you eat your second best crop and you sell your best crop. I think that's about my. I have a couple of other ideas as well, like getting old tires and making cattle feed troughs. Cut a bit of tire and fill in the bottom of the tire and make. For the guys in town that can get hold of tires, that's also something that they could do. But my challenge is my 100 man rand man that I'm trying to help. He's eating his seed. So. Trying to give him a little bit of money to be his food. But this has inspired me a little bit to go again and say, okay, let's try again, because last time the hair clippers went west, so let's try again. What are we gonna do? So thanks for the encouragement.
Sure. So You are getting a lot more points than
Oh,
the
thank
guys
you.
previous to you. You smashed it. Yeah. I just got two questions. What do you do with lemon syrup? What is the function of lemon syrup?
Cool drink. It's the nicest cool drink that you can drink. Lemon refresher, some people call it, whatever. So it's a concentrate, a lemon syrup concentrate.
Okay.
And then, the home industries and places like that sell it flat out because it's a healthy drink as opposed to Oros. And okay, I'm not slamming Oros, as opposed to any other syrupy juices in town that you buy at the shops. Yeah. So a lot of the
Awesome.
like game farms around here and whatever will buy that as a like a South African thing to sell to their to serve their visitors and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's really nice.
Okay. Sounds good. So here's my next question. Where do
Yes.
we order these hock pies? And maybe in my delivery of hock pies, can you pay, put a lemon syrup in for me as well, please? So I can give it a go. But the hock pies sound to me,
Yeah.
there's so much wisdom in that plan, because I've got a friend that grows sunflowers
Yeah.
and wheat, and the amount of damage, you cannot imagine how, well, you can imagine, but the amount of sacrifice you make to your crop with the warthogs. It's possibly not a discussion for this table, but we make the most phenomenal, ask Peter, you'll contest to this, you'll agree with me, Peter, that we make a phenomenal warthog and cheese griller for
Brother.
breakfast at our
Good.
camps. It is,
Yeah.
there's nothing better. There's just, I say to the guys, we make bacon, but don't eat the bacon. Eat the worsley. The bacon you can get at Wimpy, but a plakvark cheese griller is excellent, and I cannot just imagine on the pie. So my order is in. When you start your pie business again, please, I'll take an order of those. Sue,
Yeah,
you covered a couple of. Sorry.
my strength is not working with meat. I don't like working with meat, but we have when we were doing the warthog pies, we call them happy hog pies because that's also another thing we learned. You must make it brand. You must, thing must stand out to everybody else's. So we put a little double H in pastry on top, happy hog pies. And everyone said, but how are your pies? Why are they happy hogs? So I said, because they run in peace on our farm. They live in the sunshine. They don't know when the bullets hit them. They're dead. They don't know. So most of the time, they're very happy little hog pies. And so I agree with you. There's not much better than a happy hog cheese griller. But yeah, the pies don't use such a lot of meat. So they use a lot of pastry. And not a heck of a lot of meat, so we still have to get clients to come and shoot our warthogs because they're carrying us away.
You've got my number. I'll come. We are experts at it. 50 hogs over a weekend is not a challenge, we are geared up. We'll have that discussion on the side. Sue, so you covered a couple of things. The first one is a seamstress, and you're absolutely right. Scissors, you can't do without the scissors. You have to have the scissors, needle and thread, and you've got a business. You've got a business, and that can grow to massive things.
Sewing
Some of
machines
the
and
absolutely, it is a freedom. A sewing machine for me is a freedom machine. You can have freedom from the burden of hunger with a sewing machine. I can sew myself. My brother was a fashion designer. He studied as a fashion designer, and and there's some guys that make lots of money with clothes, Gucci, so on and so on. The other one that you covered very well is, and you didn't realize it even, but that being the transfer, the gopher, go for this, go for that, driving for someone else to go and get their groceries, or driving for somebody else. You've got a car,
That's it.
and you can make a good living. Pay your diesel or your petrol and go and fetch and drive, do driving for people that cannot, or people that just don't have the time. They don't have the car, they don't have the time.
That's it. There's a big need also for old people that need help in town. Drive them to places, you can help them stand in the queues, all that kind of stuff. There's a big need for that. Yeah.
So you just got more points because you ticked another one, a caregiver. You're a healthy young person. There's people that need caring for. There's good money in that. There's people. a scenario. You've got a man or woman, a husband or wife. They've got the. It's going to happen more and more. Where your parents start living with you because the old age homes are not great. The ones that's great is very expensive.
Expensive, yeah.
The deal that happened in our country unfortunately did not favor. I'm looking at my parents.
That's
They
not
worked
true.
hard. They paid their taxes. They did their part. The deal that the government had with them was, don't worry, we will look after you in your old age. We'll have a government pension. You will have old age home to live in. There will be a decent hospital that you can go to if you need medical care. There will be a security force that will keep you safe. All those things have fallen apart in totality, and they're reliant on themselves. So it is now, and it's good. It is in the word. It says like that. Look
That's it.
after your parents. But me and my wife at work, we work very, very hard, So when that happens, the plan in my mind is that we would find in a couple of years' time, my parents might need some assistance, find a kind-hearted caregiver to look after them. There's a business in there. There's a
That's it.
job in there. If you are a kind-hearted caring person, you should have plenty opportunities. So Sue, you're going getting another point for that one. The
Yeah.
clothes mending, the baker, you've covered a couple of those. I mean, it is so simple, and you're talking about using your neighbor's stove. We were there in Mozambique, and there was this lady that had the smallest, silliest little oven I've seen in my life.
Spoke about
Until
that, yeah.
I saw how it works. Those little things that's built on the ground with mud. And she
Yeah.
was baking pow. I mean, my mouth, you see, now I'm hungry. Happy
I'm
hog
going to
pies
buy some
and
sweet
pow.
potatoes and try that pow that you spoke about.
You have to. You cannot imagine how well it works. When somebody told me the recipe, I said, that doesn't sound right. That can't work. It is phenomenal. And it is really tasty and it's healthy. I just want to add, Sue, when I was working through all these things of making lollipops, my whole plan came to a grinding halt. And I said to myself, hold on, this is not a healthy thing that I'm doing. I don't want to be in the lollipop business. It's
And it's a
not
good
good
thing to do
for.
if you have nothing else to pack it, repack it, sell smaller quantities, whatever. But you're not adding value to anything. You're not producing anything.
Yes.
But it's a good thing to do if there's nothing else to do. Yeah.
I see I've got Freek and Peter's hands up, but they got so little points that I'm not sure if I want to give them a chance to speak anymore. Is there anybody else that has some business ideas? Okay, Peter, you can go.
I just want to say, I want to put a proposal on the table. We get Menzo to go and shoot the warthogs. We get Anthony with his truck to cart the warthogs. We get Ken to sell them, sell the pies. And we get Freek to advertise on social media. So we've already got a huge thing going here.
And Peter, you're touching something so important. And I made a note of that here. And Sue said it as well. Network. I've got a guy that I do business with, and he goes from this. His business principle is network is everything. If you look after your network will look after you.
It is, because you've got to
If
find your market. It's no good producing all these things and nobody's got the money to buy them. You can't, you know, don't have the right place to sell them.
Because if you do it right, you have to make quantities. I've got a friend that it is, I can't even remember the figure, but he makes, he's got a butchery and he makes Russians. You must see this machine, Sue. I think the one side your meat comes in, the other side of frozen Russians comes out, and I think it shoots out maybe 4 Russians per second. And if I say shoot out, it actually shoots out frozen already, 4 Russians per second. It's a crazy amount, and he sells them. He's got the way of marketing these things, and he does very, very well for himself. Fred, you go for it.
Yes, Menzo, first thing, the 100-man YouTube channel. We're going to start that. I'll show you what growth is and what how successful it is. And we don't need a lot of money to start that. We just need the content, and the things we are talking about now is what is needed. I think I'll get some points now, more points.
Okay.
Is you're very hard on me and Peter. I just want to say that, but and Wimbina. But okay. If I'm a young person, I only have 100 rand. I'll start in the street where I stay. When we moved, now there was one room, one place in our home, whole house where we stayed, that was a big concern, a big headache, and that was the garage. The garage was full of stuff because that becomes, like I think most of us, like a dumping site, right? Or everything inside the garage, from old bikes and toys and tools, and you can call it what you want, wood. So it was a big job sorting out the garage. If I'm a young person, I will get start in my street and just go after somebody and say, can I clean up your garage? And if there's things in your garage that you don't want, most of the people will give it to you, believe me. But I'll buy it from you. Maybe you can use that 100 rand to buy something from that person and resell it. I believe that will be a good business. And but make sure you've got data on your phone to miss them. Don't miss the next phone call. Your phone is so important. It's your business that you have data on your phone. That's that net, because with that, if we had a bride together, Menzo, and you tell me that you got this young guy who came in and sorted out your garage, and it's so, and you can show me photos, you know, word of mouth is your best advertisement. So, yeah, yes, Tony Vida said, starting the 100 rand man YouTube channel. So, if you just get this, did you read that now? Starting the site for 100 rand man is phenomenal. If all these ideas can be listened to, wow. So yeah, let's do this. Yeah, so that is one of the things I'll also do with that 100 rand. Start cleaning up garages and get stuff from the people. Try to buy it if they don't want to give it to you, and resell it. Yeah. If you close your eyes, you'll see you'll have your own bucky trailer. And you have a business, because word of mouth will be the best advertisement you will can get.
Rick, I know that guy. He's my best friend. He's got that business where he cleans up, clears out, and buys and sells. And his business is called, and now I forgot. Something, anything. Any case, I'll think of it now. And that's what he does.
Wow.
And he has bought, you know him, Nardis.
And how did
He
this start it?
that's how he that's how he that's what he does, Freak. And he's got properties that he owns. He
Yeah.
he's seen the world traveling. He's the
Yeah.
business is designed around the fact that he wants to see the world. So he buys, he cleans up, he puts it all in on his yard, and as soon as it's made some
And sell
enough
it.
money, and he's not even embarrassed to say it, he goes and travels, and there's enough stock on his yard. And when he gets back, he fills the yard, makes a bit of money, and he goes to see a different country. And he's been everywhere, and that's how he makes his money. He buys and sells anything. And if I say anything, let me quickly tell you, Sue, you will love this one. So he was at the army auction, and he bought a lot. And he phoned me and he said, I've got some bulletproof jackets that I bought from the army. He says, but in the same lot, there were some breast implants, not matching sizes. Where do I sell that? I said, no, I've got no idea. I don't have the right connections for you, but the bulletproof jackets, I'm sure we're going to find a buyer for you. But anything is resellable. And Friek, you just got a point. Because on my list here, I've got Smos, so I'm going to put your name there, and you've got your first point. Well done. So there's many things, and I think we should continue with the YouTube, the 100 Rand Man. Freak, I agree. There is, Sue, I'm going to give you this point as well. So on my list, I've got Private Chef. There's my sister used to do it. You tired of cooking, or you want to make a nice meal for your husband and wife, a romantic dinner at home, especially these days, because there's very few decent restaurants around. And you, as a private chef, goes to these people's house. You bring your stuff that you're going to make. Depending on what the menu was decided on, you bring everything to their house, you cook in the house, and you serve a meal around a beautiful setup table with candles and all the nice things at that person's house. And after you've finished, you clean up, you pack away the stuff, and you leave. And you've used somebody else's facilities to. So I'm going to give you that one as well, because you suggested the baker, but there's another business that if you've got transport and a skill set, a private chef.
He's kind to me, Freak. I get the points. You got the ideas.
Yeah, but you hit the ball so hard today, Sue, that you're going to get many points. So I think we can continue. I don't know if you guys want to. Who else has got a thing to add, and then we can
Can
maybe
we hear
close
from
off.
Benno?
Yes,
Can we hear from
Mbeno.
Benno?
Maybe there's redemption for Mbeno.
Yeah, thank you, Menzo. I'm not here to score points, because there are so many things which you could do. We've just heard about a lot of them, but I just want to bring these two dimensions to the table. You will remember that when I used the example of lollipops, I said that I will not spend the whole 100 rand. I will spend 75% in buying stock, and the other 25% I will keep for other contingencies. But I never got the chance to explain. And here's my contribution. In all these things, we've got to remember two things. One, we have to investigate the market first. In other words, we have to establish where is the need. I can make rations as much as I like, but if I don't have an offset for those rations and I didn't investigate the market of where I'm going to sell it, I haven't got success. So the success of whatever I'm doing and all the things that we've mentioned today needs to be sold. And that selling needs to be into a niche market where there's a need. Because if people don't have the need, they won't buy it. So that needs to be investigated first. And maybe I missed it, but I didn't hear anybody except Sue talking about investigating your market first. The second thing that I want to use, that I will use that 25 Rand, is that these days, remember, the law is very strict, and that you've got to have a license for doing these things. And I can, especially in the food market, the labor laws and the health laws are so strict that you will pick up an investigation very quickly. And then you've got to have permission to be able to do this. So those are the two things that I missed that people are not talking about. And we've got to remember that I can only be successful if I have those two things in place. So it doesn't matter what I make, it doesn't matter what I want to sell. I've got to have permission or a license to do that. And depending on what it is that I'm making, I need permission or a certificate of conformality that I have the right to do this. Those are the two points which I just want to bring to the table. Thank you, Menzo.
Thank you, Mbina. Very valid points. The first one is, and that's where the network comes in. I can possibly manufacture it, but I know I can't sell it. We sell our cable to wholesalers, and they sell them, and we build a relationship with them. And it works very well. The other part that you mentioned, Mbeno, it is very important not only that you get, I'm talking about taste neighborate. I think Sue talks more about a taste neighborate type of business. What do you call that in English? Where you can we talk about starting off small and making happy hogs pies out of your kitchen. That's a different thing. But when you start making four Russians a second out of your butchery, certainly, there is many rules for hygiene, for safety, for all those things that you have to adhere to. And my friend will tell you that it is a big part of their business to make sure those things are in order. And because no business owner in good conscience wants to have anybody sick from or anybody hurt from what the product they make. We are busy with our ISO system at the moment. And it's a massive thing, but we want to pursue it not because our customers are asking it, but because we want to have a system in place where we are responsible for what we're making and it is a safe product. We're working with dangerous things. I just want to add one more thing to Mbeno's one. There's another one. I don't think one can be blessed in your business if you do not pay your taxes. We can argue that our government doesn't deserve it, that they waste it, that they whatever. It doesn't make a difference. If you do not pay your taxes, I don't think you can be blessed in your business. And we can have a discussion about it if you want, but I'm fairly certain about this one. So, Mbeno, thank you very much for your contribution there. It is very valid. And I know you're not here for the points, and we're just joking, but you've got some points on the board for that one. Thank you very much. Guys, I think let's call it a meeting. It's getting a little bit late. And I think we had a very productive meeting. There's so many things that can be started with 100 rand, and that's what I want to end today with.
Thanks for joining us at the Transformation Table. Until next time, keep growing, keep walking in purpose, and stay about God's business.